Welcome back on a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Later in the show, Fred Smoot will join us. We can get his take on Emmanuel Forbes and the terrible defense. But right now, Grant Paulson joins us, hosts the Grant Danny Show on 106.7 The Fan. Grant, how would you describe that opener?
Sorry. There you go. Hey, buddy.
Jeeps.
How are you, fellas?
Good. All that excitement, and yet we had what we had yesterday. How would you describe it?
Yeah, that was a dud.
Total dud.
To be clear, I guess it's going to take a little longer to find north than we wanted it to, right? Recalibration, we could just call it a rebuild at this point, I think.
That's fair.
Right? We can all use that word.
Mm-hmm.
It was ugly defensively. I guess that was my big disappointment. One of the things I want to talk about on the show with Danny today is, were you more disappointed with the defense, with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt? Because I think a lot of people, and I'm one of them, thought that many of the holdovers would play better early this season than they did last year just because they have better coaching. We blamed a lot of the miscommunication issues and the secondary problems on the fact that their secondary coach, their DB's coach last year, was a high school coach that Jack Del Rio had hired to help out. But they had a lot of the same problems in coverage. It was kind of the same mess with communication. And then offensively, it was a very stagnant, boring offense with very little passing game. It seemed like the plan was, go make a play, Jaden, run around. And I don't know really otherwise, like going into the game, what the big plan was.
Yeah, I mean, there were no intermediate passes. Okay, took two deep shots, but everything else was sideways. One thing that you tweeted about and wanted your perspective on it, though, was Terry McLaurin and him lining up in the same spot over and over. Do you have a takeaway on that yet?
Well, my takeaway is this was Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. So the reason that was a preseason storyline was, if you remember, when DeAndre Hopkins, still at the peak of his powers, was his wide receiver one, he was underachieving some, and one of the reasons speculated was that there were some defensive players and coaches along the way that said it was easier to take him out of the game plan because they really didn't do anything to get him free releases or move him around a whole lot. And so the knock on Kingsbury at that time was, if you go back historically, DeAndre Hopkins would essentially just lined up as his ex, like on the left side of the formation, flanked out at a 90-some percent clip, and they never really moved him. And so there was this discourse after the preseason, because McLaurin was almost exclusively used lined up out to the left after a really small sample, kind of in the fantasy, like nerd community, if you will. Well, they're doing the same thing with Terry McLaurin. And then all the reporters pushed back and talked about how much he'd been moved around in practice. And that's not a thing. And Cliff Kingsbury says it's not a thing. And so I set an alarm on my phone for 9 o'clock last night to just go back and look. And unofficially, it was like 42 out of 45 plays. I think if you look at PFF, because they grade some things differently in the slot, the numbers are slightly skewed. But at a 90 or so percent clip, he lined up in the same spot on the left. He didn't go in motion one time. He was almost never in a stack, other than when he was blocking on wide receiver screens for somebody else. It's just bad design. I mean, you watched the Rams last night with Cooper Kupp. The guy's running all over the place pre-snap. He's always stacked up. He's constantly getting free releases, so in 2024, that's just not good enough for me.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I agree. That's my blink. That's my initial reaction. But then I also think, all right, I mean, is Cliff a moron? I mean, he can't be a moron. He must have a rationale. We may not like the rationale, but he must have a rationale of why he's doing that, why he thinks he will be effective doing that. Do we have any idea what the counter argument is?
So it's a good question. I don't remember what he said when this was asked of him in Arizona. I could go back and dig on that. I'm sure it will come up, whether it's this week or next week, when it becomes more pressing. All I know is, you know, Hopkins, the point of it becoming a story in the past was he wasn't producing like a lot of people thought he should. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, Terry McLaurin was utterly uninvolved.
Correct.
And my issue is he's going to be easy to take out of the game with their lack of other weapons. They decided they didn't want to go get Brandon Ayuk. They had a lot of money to play with. They didn't want to go get wide receiver weapons beyond Alameda Zacchaeus, who caught 10 balls last year. You know, we heard all offseason and preseason, you know, how much De'Ami Brown was impressing. He had an hour-long documentary that came out on YouTube this week. He didn't catch a pass. So they liked their secondary options to help take some of the pressure off, it seemed like, Terry McLaurin. My point is, if I am coaching against Washington, well, my plan is to take him out of the game, and you make it really easy for me to do that if I always know exactly where he's going to be.
He's got to have an answer to that, though. He has to say, right? He has to have he may have the wrong answer, but it can't be like he hasn't thought of that. I find that impossible to believe.
Thought of it, but I do think like you have a scheme, a concept. I mean, again, it's a tiny sample, and I'm not a reactionary person normally, where after 1 week I wouldn't make a big deal of something. But this goes back to, like, his track record has been this with his number one wide receiver, who is decidedly better than everybody else. So, yeah, I'm sure he's got some logic. But I will say this, EB, I mean, yeah, there's very little motion in this offense in general. Like,
I agree. That, so that's why
one of the things, and that's we have a 4-year sample of this.
No, I agree. Like, that's Shanahan, it's not a surprise. But he must have, now I'm willing to say he's a moron. I'm right, willing to, but I'm going to give him at least more than a week. And you know, but you're
that's
right.
That's reasonable.
But the track record indicates this is his philosophy. No motion.
Exactly.
Why?
I'm sure he has an explanation, but that doesn't mean it's good. Like, I
agreed,
can explain away that I'm fat because I eat carbs and I don't exercise.
Agreed.
And then you would say, you shouldn't do that. And I'm like, yeah, good point. But I have an explanation.
Well, I want to, that's my point, though. I want to hear
the explanation.
I want to hear the explanation so I can decide if I agree with it or
problem
not.
Problem is,
that's
Kingsbury,
all I'm saying,
he doesn't talk to the media much.
Right. So I know, and his personality stinks.
You're not going
to
hear it from him. You might hear it from Dan.
Well, does it go back to like the air raid days where he basically just lined guys up and they were fat? Like, I don't know enough about the air raid
like
offense.
I felt like we didn't have a lot
but
of...
they didn't motion so much in the air raid offense, if I recall.
Right. Maybe, and that's what it is.
Yesterday was the Jaden Daniels run raid. I mean, that's right, kind of what we got, right? So for me, I know everyone's very excited, and they should be. You've got a great athlete. It was a kind of 11-on-11, like Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, kind of this guy is an explosive, elite ball carrier game. But frankly, like, you win with the passing game. And I'm not discouraged from Jaden Daniels passing. I was out of practice a few times in camp. The guy is accurate. He's got touch. He's able to throw the football. But at one point in the late third quarter yesterday, he had run more than he'd completed passes. And I can't tell you how frustrating it's going to be for me if that's the norm. So it's one game. I don't think it will be. But I guess none of my questions that I had about Daniels got answered. We didn't see a lot of those traditional NFL in-breaking routes, throwing to the middle of the field. The times he threw to the middle of the field, it was mostly Ertz kind of underneath or, you know, turned around flat-footed. So there's plenty of things I still want to see. It's only been 1 week. It's very early. But the good thing is, obviously, and we knew this before they drafted him, the moment after they drafted him, they got an unbelievable athlete who's going to make a ton of plays with his feet.
So Grant Eckler, just 6 touches yesterday, 2 carries, 4 receptions. 10 to 12 per game sounds like a reasonable number. Do you see an uptick starting with the Giants game and that he's more heavily involved going forward?
I think there's got to be, right, Cakes? I mean,
you would think.
First of all, I think there was some question about his like tread on the tire.
Right.
I don't know what you guys thought. I'd be curious to hear. I thought he looked great in the open field.
He looked good.
He was kind of elusive and shifty.
He took some big shots, though. Big ones.
Yeah. Oh, well, he's a tiny guy. Yeah. When he gets hit, he gets hit hard.
He got demolished. Yeah. No doubt. But, yeah, I think they have to. Number one, I think you just want to keep Robinson fresher.
Mm-hmm.
But also, what they didn't work in the running game, you know, which was very – it was kind of a – it was different, I'm sure, but it looked to me like it was kind of a lot of downhill power runs at a gun with B-Rob slamming into a wall.
I agree.
Try something else. I mean, get Eckler out there, almost like your 2-minute, 4-minute offense. We heard a lot about tempo. They did that a little bit. But, you know, run off the edges. Get outside and see where that gets you. Maybe it was a matchup thing. The Bucs defense is obviously really good. I don't know if you guys got to watch any of the Giants yesterday, but they were tumultuous.
They're terrible.
In almost every facet. So hopefully it looks very different. You know, they come out and maybe we find out that, you know, they had a bad matchup. You know, we could 8 weeks from now see the Bucs at 6-2 and realize that they played a really good football team.
Oh no, they were good.
Well, they were way better than us. I know that.
Talking to Grant Paulson during our colleague check-in, are you a Cade York fan?
How could you be?
Is anybody other than Mrs. York?
Yeah.
How could you?
No, nobody's a Cade York fan.
But it's a minor issue.
I give him one more week.
It's a minor issue. I mean,
so
he sucks.
Here's the problem
but...
with one more week, okay? And I sound so reactionary today, but I promise. Normally, I'm a let this thing play out guy. It's day one of a rebuild, so to speak. The way I understand it, Jason,
yeah,
is that if he kicks in two games, they lose the draft pick. If he only kicks in one, it was a conditional pick, and they keep their seventh.
Bye-bye.
So he's done.
Goodbye.
He's done.
Now, if I'm wrong about that, I texted a couple people to try to get confirmation
yeah.
this morning. Haven't heard back. But that's what I was told last night.
Well, if that's the case,
true,
he's
yeah.
done.
Okay.
No reason to stand by him. Right.
True.
Yeah, he's done.
If it's not, and you're giving up the seventh rounder regardless, then you could give him another week. But I disagree a little bit, EB, that it's a minor issue, because I don't think there's a whole lot of margin for error with this group. That if you're lining up from 47, not feeling good, and when the onside kick, no one's talked about what was that.
No, that was terrible.
That was awful.
It's a minor issue just in the sense that we have so many other more important ones.
Well, I agree, but that one's a pretty easy one to try. Like, yeah, you got 15 holes to plug,
yeah.
but like that one's right in front of you, and you got the tape in your hand.
I just don't know what you're going to plug it
agree
with.
Agree 1,000%.
You know, another leaky plug.
But like I said, right. but Grant, like I said to Cakes earlier, all right, so let's just say you cut Cade York and you bring some other guy off the street. Well, yeah. the reason he was on the street was he ain't that good either.
You're bringing in another turd in the punch bowl.
You are, but at least you keep the conditional, probably 100th right. round draft pick. I know
oh,
it's
who
fit.
Cares about that?
That Adam dude Peters sucks. Does. He ain't here long term. It doesn't matter.
How about this one? We were doing To Tell the Truth Monday because Dan Quinn said it's going to be a To Tell the Truth Monday. All right, tell the truth. Are Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen that good?
I think they are, but I think they're in a situation right now where the guys outside them are just okay. And that changes the game a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, as an example, Cleveland Farrell got the one impressive big sack of the game coming off the edge. That was actually Daron Payne's play. He pushed yeah. the pocket. Mayfield kind of slides out of the way and gets run into and brought to the ground by Farrell, not to knock Cleveland Farrell. But I thought there were five or six times where they actually impacted the snap, and then Mayfield slid like a surfer through a wave, and next thing you know,
yes.
he somehow got away. I mean, to me, the middle of the line, the interior, Allen and Payne more often than not, kind of won, and then Mayfield was pretty creative in how he moved around. And on a great team with like T.J. Watt, if you watched him yesterday, like you're not able to get away because when you start to move toward the edges, you're getting crushed. And that was a question coming into the year. So we'll see Dante Fowler, Dorrance Armstrong, Cleveland Farrell, Jamin Davis. You know, someone's got to win often enough that it helps those guys.
Well, here's the thing. I agree with you. They won with pass rush. I don't think they won stopping the run. The interior
Fair.
Specifically. Felt like they got gutted. And Frankie Fair. Louvu was invisible. I'm not going to write him off, but all I heard was how great he was.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I didn't see greatness. In fact,
well,
I barely saw him.
I mean, defensively,
there wasn't who played well.
Who was good?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say the interior of the line, I thought, pressured him. I think PFF had him at 10 pressures. I think half of them should have been sacks. And it's a different ball
right.
game, frankly, if he's sacked five times because they're punting on three or four of those. It's just a different ball game, to be
so
honest.
True, EB. Yeah, so true.
But the corners were brutal. They're never going to be better. They all suck. It's a painful reality. But
well, we can't hold it. You can't give up on Look, Sandersill's played one game.
Yeah, I like Sandersill. I like him.
Although he was getting beat.
Well, but he wasn't great yesterday.
He was getting beat.
Yeah.
Sandersill's going to be really good. Back to JP's point, though. I mean, you're talking about with Allen and Payne. Like, my point is I thought they played pretty well, okay, whatever, in the passing game. Or those guys need to be great. You know, those guys need to occasionally take drives over.
Well, they got
to
stop
We've
the run.
Seen them do it over their career. Yesterday was not that in any way. I mean,
no.
You could have gone drives without noticing them. And you just need those impact plays.
They've been disappointing for a year and a half, I'll be honest. Like, on the whole. But that's just me. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that comes back to the edges, right? When you say a year and a half, that's when you got rid of Sweat. And Chase
those guys
Young,
weren't doing anything either. You know that. They weren't doing anything.
But they're better than the guys that are currently here.
True. Agreed. I mean, Chase wasn't doing anything.
Hey, if you had to bet, is Emmanuel Forbes going to be on this team next year?
Nope.
Right now, I would say no.
That seems like a pretty easy bet.
I mean, yeah, I just think you could probably, like, it sounds hilarious to say, but if nothing changes this offseason, my guess is you could move him for, like, a very, very late round conditional pick or something just because of where he was drafted. But I don't see how he fits here. Like, what they want to do with their secondary generally, historically, they like size, they like length. But yep. Benjamin St. Juice, whether you guys like him or not, like, that's what it looks like for them.
Big
they
physical want a guy corner, yeah. Not a spindly 180 pounds if he's lucky
he
guy.
Throws me because yeah. at times I think he's perfect position to make the play. In fact, he almost had the interception, right? He was the one that should have had the interception. We exactly. jumped it. Yeah. But then half the time, you know, he doesn't make the play. I mean, you know, yeah, or more than half the time. Yeah.
The touchdown to Mike Evans, the first of the two, which is always good when you have to decipher which touchdown yeah. you're talking about.
Yeah.
But St. Juice got beat for two by Evans. The first one, I thought his coverage was actually
me
about
too.
Perfect.
Me too.
I thought it was good, but I think he was interfering with him while he was
that's
covering
fine.
Him.
That's fine. That's part of the gig.
Yeah.
Part of the game.
But I'll say this,
Grant. Wasn't getting called.
Grant.
Yeah. So I take it as a win for him. But no, I mean, of the two, obviously he's way better. He's normally around. And
well, he looks like a Hall of Famer compared to Forbes.
Right. I just, like, the play that makes the Forbes point to me was like a third down. Godwin wins on a slant. He kind of hits him at 5 yards. Godwin beats him inside with yep. leverage and then makes the catch. And then they're praising Forbes after the play on the call about how he played it perfectly. And maybe he did. The problem is he's not big enough or physical enough that when he jammed him at 5 yards, he didn't reroute him and he didn't knock the timing of the playoff. And I don't know how that ever changes.
Grant, I know we got to run soon. We're up against it. I thought Moose Johnston was an F- on the call. I thought he
not
was.
A Moose guy, huh?
I thought he was actually terrible.
Yeah,
I wouldn't call him terrible.
I was like, oh, that's a really good point. I don't remember him being awful. I still want to go back and watch how Tom Brady did in his debut.
Yeah.
My guy's Greg
boring.
Olson. I really, really
I like
him.
Olson a lot, yeah.
So, and my team, my favorite football group to watch is Charles Davis and Ian Eagle. So, yeah, Moose generally, you know, with Kevin Kugler, fine, but I don't get steamed up.
I saw over the weekend online, it was a college game. Was it Spencer Tillman or somebody they were basically doing like the Running Man in the studio?
I don't know. There are 100 college games. I can't keep up with
who
all
does jump around?
Jump around it.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin does it at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the play-by-play and the color commentator were freaking dancing in the studio.
Right.
Going nuts.
That's the new shtick. They show the whole stadium, and then they show the booth, and you got to jump around.
Yeah.
Right. So. All right,
GP.
We're wacky. See, we're cool. We're wacky.
Hey,
all right,
good stuff. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Have a good show today.
All right, fellas.
See you, GP.
Next week, big one. 3-point favorites.
Yep.
Got to win it.
That's our colleague check-in with Grant Paulson. Listen to him at 2 o'clock on the Grant and Danny Show right here on 106.7 The Fan.